The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Can be a formidable offense, but they need to be a lot better tomorrow night to be able to beat a Texas team that is improving. But also, I like their quarterback and their running back, and they're doing some pretty good things. But Arkansas, as a culture, I love the way this program is going. Like, just being around here today, I mean, honestly, it's really hard not to like the coaching staff. It's hard not to like the strength staff. It's hard not to root for these players. I mean, you talk about Jalen and Bumper and Grant, and you like them as people, and so then you root for them as players. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I root for Arkansas is because I think they're one of the hardest playing teams in the country. And I think, you know, if Sam's able to continue to build that culture, get more people to invest in the program, more fans, more money, more recruits, I think you'll see that continue. And I don't think they'll hit their peak, at least for a couple of years, because I think they're building something that they'll have a chance to sustain. And I'm excited to see what that is.
Tim, this is a unique place. It's really the only game in town where you grew up. There's a lot going on, and I'm curious how you think he has been able to do it, because he looks like he could be in the stands tomorrow night as opposed to on the field coaching.
Yeah, but I think that's exactly the point. Is he could be. He's real. He's transparent. He's authentic. And when you have that, you're different than other people. Like, a lot of these coaches just stand up and they say coach speak. They talk to recruits as if it's a business decision, right? And I think the one thing that has separated Sam is when I talk to his other coaches, when I talk to his players, is they're like, hey, when he tells us something, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. Like, when he says, hey, this is our script for practice, they say he never changes it. Like a lot of other coaches, they'll say, this is the script, but if it doesn't go good, you're going to run sprints, you're going to do 20 more plays, you're going to do this. They say he never does that, and the players have bought into it. They bought into his strength coaches. I mean, you look at the numbers in the weight room of a lot of the players before he got there to where they're at now, they're a much more physical team. They're a much more bought-in team, and now that gives them a chance when you execute and when you get better recruits to now have a chance to win the big games.
Talking to Tim Pebo, and certainly high on the culture here, and we will talk to Coach Pittman very soon. And it's hard to find anything to any fault with him because of the authenticity. Let me get a quick read. You told us last Friday about a quarterback situation at Florida, and you made us all look really smart. I want to thank you, because and we were sitting there going, oh, okay, great. I mean, maybe Tim's just saw something in Gainesville, but what is going on down there right now? Because I mean, they have a, you know, they're progressing toward next week, and it's a huge week. What's going on with quarterback?
I think you got a young kid in Anthony Richardson that is very special, very physically gifted. But I think you have the starter, and I think he should be the starter, in Emory Jones, who he did struggle a little bit, but I think he's also very talented, and he's also has more experience, and I think. You know, he's the right guy to go with, but I also think you're going to see Anthony get more time and continue to show how physically gifted he is. And I think both of them can add to Florida. I don't think by having two quarterbacks you take away, because I think both of them understand that together they're better, right? And two quarterback systems don't always work. I was fortunate to be in one that did work, you know, but it also takes the guys to, you know, kind of put your arm around each other and say, we're good with this, you know?
Right.
And I think these two are going to be supportive of one another so that it makes the team better. Because when Anthony plays, it does make the team better. And there's going to be a lot of times when Emory needs to play, because he'll make the team better.
We're talking to Tim Tebow about a number of games. We have not had a chance to – it seems like we've talked to everyone else but you, but I do want to get your impressions of what happened between Clemson and Georgia last week. And the criticism of Georgia's offense has been loud, although the defense – couldn't be any better.
Yeah, I wish just the praise of winning was louder than the criticism of your offense didn't do. I mean, you beat one of the top five teams in college football, right? Just, you know, so let's just put that aside. That's awesome. Like, congrats. Did the offense look good? No, it really didn't. But are there things that you look at where you could say, hey, you could fix this, you could tweak this, and it can get a lot better? Absolutely. But on the other side, that defense looked ridiculous. Like, when you watch that defense play, when they're flying around, like, that is what Kirby's been trying to build for a while now. And that defense looks very similar and possibly better to 17, you know, when they went to the national championship. I think, you know, you're still looking for that Roquan Smith, you know.
Sure.
But it's that defensive line, the way they fly around, it's not a bad Clemson offense they went against. It's a young Clemson offense, but they were able to make them look poor because they were so physical and they flew around for 60 minutes.
Yeah, Tim, clearly Georgia was without a couple of key players, but that happens. When they get some of these guys back, what are they capable of offensively?
Well, I think, first of all, they need to figure out what their identity is. See, when they had Chubb and Michelle, you knew what their identity was, right? It was, we are going to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust. If we score, great. If not, we're going to kick it, and you're not going to score, right? It was your identity. It's what you rallied around. I personally believe almost every great team has an identity that it's built around, right? And I think Georgia right now, it's built around that defense. But offensively, eventually, they're going to have to come to the table to win, whether that's against the SEC championship or it's before that against Florida. You know, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to give them headaches. And when that happens, what is the offensive identity? What is it going to be? Is it going to be in the gun, JT Daniels? Is it going to be going to your five-star backs that you have a stable of? You know, I think that's something that Kirby, Todd Monken, and this offense need to figure out, because your defense can only carry you so far, as it did 17.
Speaking of identity, it didn't take Alabama long to establish one with Bryce Young. I mean, we've seen some pretty remarkable first start appearances, but how I know how you would grade him, but what do you make out of Bryce Young right now?
Well, I think he's special. I think he's really good. I also want to say, I think everything else around him was really good. The play calling was really good by Bill O'Brien. You know, I said beforehand, I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I think he absolutely stepped up in that pressure. I thought the offensive line did a really good job, you know, handling pressures from Manny Diaz. I thought the receivers are ridiculous, you know. And then they added more to the – and their backs played well. The defense played well. So did Bryce Young do everything that he was supposed to and more? Yes. But also, so did everybody else.
Tim, a couple of really big games tomorrow, one in particular in Lexington, where you have, you know, a couple of young quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One's not so young. He came over here from Penn State, Will Levitz. How do you look when you look at this game? What stands out and what needs to happen for either both teams to win?
Well, I think Will last week did everything that they asked him to do, and he was impressive. But it was against such inferior competition that you really want to see what happens when it's another level of athlete. And he's going to face that against Missouri, and Missouri is going to play a lot of one-high, man-to-man, cover three. They're going to press. They're going to get after these receivers. Not what he faced last week, where they were going to get running starts and be wide open down the field. And so, I honestly was really impressed with Kentucky. I did not think they were going to look quite as good. I thought they were going to have some rust, some jitters, first time with the new OC. But I thought he did a great job calling it. I thought Will handled everything. I thought the receivers were a lot better than I thought. So Kentucky, I was pleasantly surprised with how they looked offensively. And we know their defense is always going to show up. But also with Missouri, I think the one thing people underestimate with Missouri is they're a very physical team. And I think they're going to match the physicality of Kentucky. And so then it's going to be fun to watch Will against Connor.
It should be fun. It's always great to have you here on Friday. It's a special treat for us and for our fans. And we hope we will see you tomorrow and see you next week, right,
well,
wherever we are.
We will see you tomorrow.
Okay. Tim, thank you. Tim Tebow joining us. We really appreciate it. When we come back, the man that Tim was just talking about, Sam Pittman.
Ooh, I might stay.
Stick around. Sam Pittman joining us right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show, presented by Johnsonville.
And we are back in Arkansas, and who do we have? The favorite son of this state, Coach Sam Pittman, joining us. And Coach, that was a nice cheer. It's going to be a little louder tomorrow night. Great to see you.
I hope so. Thank you. We're supposed to be packed in here, so I'm excited about it. Our kids are.
Well, you're not from too far away from here. You know how important this rivalry is. I'm sure you've heard about it a few thousand times in the offseason. But before we get to tomorrow night, let's talk about week one. And you don't know what you're going to get, and a lot of people, maybe including you, still don't know what you have.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't think we do. I think we'll find out a little bit more about our football team. Certainly started off slow, you know, talked about KJ Jefferson, but, you know, there was four good balls he threw that we dropped. And certainly, you know, we're looking forward to playing much better. I think we will. I know we can. And then, of course, in the second half, we turned it around a little bit, and our speed and our size kind of wore them down and ended up scoring 31-7 in the second half. So I don't know how it would have been in the past, but I was glad that we were able to turn the game around and get a win.
You built a program on a lot of different things. Tim Tebow was here a minute ago, and he was apparently in your weight room today. And he's Tim always talks about the strength and condition. Not that you don't as a line coach, but as you see what you put on the field last week, you spent all your game planning. What goes through your mind when all of a sudden it looks like you haven't been practicing?
Well, you know, we had a punt blocked, and it was simply as we didn't turn out on a punt, which we do every day at practice. So at that point, you know, you're going, hey, okay, when are we going to right the ship a little bit, you know? And we tried to do it. We made an adjustment trying to run the ball inside early, even in the first half, and we didn't have great success there. And so at some point you go, okay, let's get them grouped back. Let's understand what it really is. And it was a three-point game at half. Sometimes you can lose games by feeling like you're down 30 and you're down three. You know, just make a play here and there and you're back in the game. So that's what we tried to do.
You've had, obviously, in year one, a lot of big games, just to say the least. But tomorrow night's completely different. It's not your Alabama or Auburn or LSU or Texas A&M. It's history. There's not a person in this state that doesn't have some, that's at least over 30, that doesn't have some recollection. And I know that it can get out of hand a little bit in terms of buildup and pressure. I know you want your team to feel a little bit of pressure, but how do you temper them? Because this place will be on fire tomorrow night.
Well, we told them, you know, when you play in the SEC, you play a lot of big games, you know. Well, we're feeling it, and that's what we want to do, is from our fans. I mean, we're feeling it. You know, I got ridiculed a little bit last summer. Someone asked me, what is our rival? And I said, to the state of Arkansas, it's the University of Texas. And I said, well, you don't play them anymore. You'll see tomorrow night that in the state
of – You knew they were about to get in the SEC.
Yeah, I knew that. In the state of Arkansas, it's University of Texas, and you'll feel it tomorrow night. And I think that'll be a big advantage for us.
And that's so unique. And I know we have a lot of young people behind us, and they've probably seen that newsreel from 1969 more times than they want. You've probably seen it.
But we showed the 64 clips to our team this week.
Now that's a little better year.
Yeah, we did.
I am interested in that though, because I love watching those old clips. And I went back this week and read some of the articles about 69 and even 64. I remember being here a couple of years ago when the team was being honored. I guess it was the 50th, and Jerry Jones was sitting right up here with us. And that's Arkansas history.
It sure is. And, you know, Coach Hatfield coached here, and he returned the punt, you know, to end up beating Texas in that 64 matchup. So, anyway, so there's so much history between the two teams. I think at the time we left the Southwest Conference, they had Texas at that point had 21 championships and we had 14. So, you know, it was a big deal. It's just like now we win this side and whoever you play in the SEC championship, back then it was that type of a rivalry.
When you were not that old at the time, but do you remember about either one? 64 might be pushing it, but 69 you certainly remember.
Yeah, I was eight, you know, at the time. But I can remember the passion that Arkansas and I guess it's the hatred that the Arkansas people have towards Texas, you know. and so I can remember that, you know, my uncle, from 4 years old, I'd listen to the radio games, you know. And of course, you knew when they were playing Texas because he wouldn't work on his car the entire time, you know. So it was a big deal and has been. And of course, again, you can see it around town. You can feel it, you know, the excitement from our fans.
And I think that's I don't want to act like I know that much about Arkansas. I lived literally across the river growing up. That doesn't mean I was over on the other side of the Mississippi. But back then, nothing else mattered. And quite frankly, I've been here a couple hours, Coach. I don't think anything else matters now. I mean, the program has not been that great. Many are optimistic, but is it the optimism you think that has people, you know, feeling so good about
themselves? Well, I hope so. I mean, it's the belief, you know. What you're trying to do is get belief in your players and in the fans that you can win ball games, you know. And I think that was the biggest thing. The hardest obstacle to overcome here was – our players believing we could win and our fans believing we could win, and we've got it right now, and so we'll see what happens.
I know, I mean, you know, 26 hours before the game, your mind is on what's going to happen, but you never stop recruiting, you never stop, you know, pushing this thing forward, but it is pretty remarkable from that first day you arrived. It was a pretty cold December day to where things are right now.
Now, thank you. You know, I remember you asked me about Barry Odom, you know, on the show. And ironically, he was on his way to Arkansas. And since that time, we have turned from we can't compete to we can compete. Winning and losing, we're not where we want to be yet. But we can compete, and I think that gives us hope. And we told our kids today, you know, they got 11, we got 11. We've got a good football team. They've got a wonderful football team. Let's go see what happens.
And I know, and I can't speak for anyone other than myself, but it doesn't seem like the world will come to an end either way tomorrow, although a win, I take it back, it might come to an end. But how do you approach a game like this, knowing what is around the corner? It's the gauntlet. It's what you faced last year, a little bit less, but not much less. But on the other hand, you've already said it. I mean, this you can't undersell the University of Texas to an Arkansan.
Well, you know, the selection committee ought to select me because we play 1, 2, 5, 15, 20, and 25.
You don't want to be on there yet.
No, I don't want to be on it. But I know I'm going to know who the good teams are because we play them all. And so this is just another game. Sunday's going to come up no matter what happens.
Right.
Obviously, we want to win Sunday. But we need to get to that 6-win-plus threshold. That's what our program needs. We need to get respectability. And every game, we're not playing a schedule today. We're playing Texas Saturday. So whatever happens, we still have a lot of work. We have 10 games left.
you're one game and 1 year and one game into it. I've talked to people here, and they still think a lot has to happen. You know, a lot has to happen. Regardless of tomorrow or even the rest of the year, what happens next off the field that you have to accomplish?
Well, we have to do a better job of recruiting. You know, we have to get big. I believe we could change our program the fastest by getting fast athletes. And we're still not big enough. We're still not strong enough yet. We're headed in that direction. So it just becomes of maybe another class or two of recruiting and developing the ones we have where we can continue to compete at the high level.
Clearly, if you live in this surrounding area or in this state, everyone knows what's going on. But you also have to get outside of here. You have to go beyond the state boundaries. And when you're talking to those players, everyone that says you've been in their living room or been to their school talks about your authenticity. How do you get over the hump with those difference makers?
Well, that's hard. That's hard because we're in a league where there's so many logos. You know, there's so many named teams. In our league, we have to control the state of Arkansas. That's where we have to win in Arkansas, which we're doing. But I also need to hire coaches that have the same passion and belief that I do. So whenever they go in, their authenticity is just like mine, and they believe that this is the greatest university in the country. And when we do that, which we do have those guys on our staff, then I think we can convince, hey, give us a shot, give us a try, like we did on the O-line when I was here the first time. You know, we had as good offensive line as there was in college football when I was here year two and year three, and we went to Florida, Minnesota. We went all over the place, California, to get our kids.
I know you got work to do. I don't want to be accused of holding you up, but I know a lot of folks behind us and watching and listening across this state and the country are really excited by what you've done, and all the best tomorrow.
I appreciate you. Go Hogs.
You got it.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Coach.
Go Hogs.
Sam Pittman joining us. We are coming right back. We're live in Fayetteville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. And the headline, this is from Seth Emerson in The Athletic, concerns the fact that Carson Beck is projected to be the starter tomorrow night when UAB comes to Sanford Stadium. Robert Griffith III joining us. He's part of the broadcast team tomorrow. And first of all, Robert, it's so great to have you here at the network and on our program. We are delighted. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm the excited one. This is a blast getting to cover college football. It's an amazing thing, so appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you very much. So let's start where most fans' attention is right now. JT Daniels clearly hurt. You're on the ground there. Let me get the word from you in terms of what you expect and what you're hearing in relation to that position tomorrow night.
Yeah, Paul, had an opportunity to talk with JT Daniels today. We talked with the coaching staff, and he's suffering from an oblique injury, and they're not sure if he's going to be able to go, but they've given him time off this week. if it'll heal, and he feels like it's progressed well. But there is a chance that Carson Beck is a starter. And for anybody that doesn't know anything about him, you know, he was Mr. Football in Florida in 2018, four-star recruit, pro-style quarterback, a little bit more mobile than JT Daniels. But he's really impressed the coaching staff throughout the spring and earned that second quarterback position. So if they do get a chance, or he gets a chance to play, I think they're expecting big things out of him.
Robert, I trust you probably had every injury imaginable that a quarterback can suffer. Explain to us who don't have any earthly idea what an oblique injury does to you.
Yeah, so with an oblique injury, you're really talking about affecting the torque, right? When you're following through on a throw, when you're throwing a 40, 50-yard bomb, that's really when the injury starts to hurt you. Us quarterbacks, we deal with some of these smaller injuries all the time. Nobody really cares, right? We get all the praise and we get all the fault whenever things don't go right. But JT Daniels is suffering from that. So they talk about the big plays. They talk about the explosion that they need on the offensive side of the ball. And it's not helping them. If his oblique is hurting him, he won't be able to throw the ball as deep or as effective as he is.
Robert, is this one of those injuries that, you know, by cooling it off a little bit will get better? Or is it the kind of thing that just hangs on?
Yeah, it's something that's going to get better as time goes on. You just got to give him a break, right? And I think that's what they did. You saw it with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. He had an oblique injury. He got some time off. And what did he do? He went out there and threw for 403 yards. So I don't know if JT Daniels would be doing that against UAB. They're one of the most stout pass teams in all the country, have been for about 3 years now. So, but it is an injury that you can play with as long as it heals properly. I don't know if 3 or 4 days is enough time for him to fully recover and get back out there, but I'm not a doctor and I'm not his coach, so they have to clear him to play, and if they do, he'll be ready to roll.
Robert, I mean, there are a lot of, there've been a lot of bad matchups in college football, but you know, most people that know this UAB program, you know, have tremendous respect for Bill Clark and his staff. When you look at this team on film, what do you see?
Yeah, first and foremost, Coach Smart has a lot of respect for Coach Clark. He used to recruit his high school whenever he was a high school coach. And what I'm seeing on the tape that I've watched of UAB is a solid, well-coached team. They always say teams that play well on special teams and block punt are well-coached. UAB is no different. They like to take a lot of shots. It all starts with their running game. But we're going to see a battle of two great defenses. I think people may be underestimating how good of a football team UAB actually is.
And Robert, finally, let me, you know, state the obvious here about what we saw last week from Georgia's defense. I don't think we need too much more platitudes, but as you look at the offense, clearly they were missing some key players. What is the likelihood some of these guys start coming back, and what do you think once everyone gets a little bit healthier, this Georgia offense is going to look like?
Yeah, I talked with offensive coordinator Todd Monken, and obviously everyone knows they lost George in the spring to an ACL. They don't have Darnell Washington, the tight end. They don't have Dominique Blaylock, the wide receiver. Kyaris Jackson is coming back from injury as well. So what I think it's going to look like is a heavy dosage of that four-headed monster at running back, starting with Zaire, the running back, Dukes. It's going to start with him, Campbell Milton, you know, Kenny McIntosh, Cook. They're going to have to carry the load as these young receivers get a little bit of experience out there. I think once other guys start coming back, you're going to see more and more explosion from this offense. But right now, they have to find a way to put more than 3 points on the board because their defense is the only one that scored a touchdown last game.
Robert, many, many thanks. We'll all be watching tomorrow. It's so great to have you on the program. You be well.
Hey, appreciate you, Paul. God bless.
You got it. So great. The former Heisman Trophy winner, Robert Griffith III, now part of the ESPN college football team. We will take a break. Actually, before we do that, let me go to Weasel. I mean, can you turn down a guy named Weasel on a Friday afternoon? Go right ahead.
What's going on, Paul? It's a nickname I'm very proud of. My granddaddy gave it to me when I was born, like 4 pounds. He said, that looks like a little weasel, and it stuck.
Well, you should be proud. I've been called a little weasel before, and it's not my nickname.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. Hey, listen, I just wanted to touch on something. I watched the Nick Saban press conference he had a couple of times, and I got to tell you, man, with that press conference, you got to listen to what he's saying. He is very detailed. He's very focused. And if I'm Jimbo Fisher, which I think he's probably the second highest paid coach in the SEC. I could be wrong on that. I would be, I'd be worried to death because his players obviously buy into that kind of pressure. Because Nick Saban is a pressure. I consider him a pressure oriented coach, and it works because his players buy into it. And the results, you hear him say, hey, I had 13, I could be wrong, don't quote me, 13 players in the NFL from last year. I mean, that those numbers speak volumes to players that are playing for him. They're saying, okay, hey, listen, this coach delivers. So we're going to play hard for this coach. And I'm just thinking, you know, to me, I hadn't been impressed with Jimbo Fisher, not throwing off on Jimbo Fisher. But, hey, if I got to look at the SEC West, I put Lane Kiffin – I don't know what his salary is, which is irrelevant, I guess, but I put him way before Jimbo Fisher in succeeding. And Sam Pittman, to listen to what Tim Tebow just said about Sam Pittman, his players listen to him. He's not a pressured player. He's not a pressured coach. He's if it don't work, we don't change it. We stay with it. And I'm not saying Nick Saban's that coach in practice. If things don't work, hey, we'll change it up. I don't think he's that sporadic because – if he was, he wouldn't be as successful as he is. But, you know, if you take the SEC West and you take Jimbo Fisher, Sam Pittman, and Lane Kiffin, I'm telling you right now, if 5 years, if they're able to stay, I put Lane Kiffin above all of them and Sam Pittman and Jimbo Fisher third. I just want to get your opinion on that because, to me, Nick Saban is a coach that has dealt with adversity. He's had turnover in his coaching staff. He's had things he's had to deal with. He's had, you know, I mean, Lane Kiffin left in the middle of the – not in the middle of the season, but at the end of the season. Probably cost him a national championship. But he's able to rebound year after year after year. And I just don't see Jimbo Fisher being is what he's paid for. Alabama gets every penny's worth out of Nick Saban. He does it because he's got a passion for the sport. He's got a passion for coaching. And I just want to get your opinion on that. Maybe I'm in left field, but I don't
there's no fault found in anything you say. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We have a long way to go. We will spend some time, as we have already done. Hey, we'll head to the LSU game coming up here in a minute. We just got Tim Tebow and Sam Pittman and Robert Griffin, two Heisman winners in the same hour. More to come and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Thousands affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need support. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond to and help people recover from this disaster. And we are back here, and welcome in our good friend Taylor Davis. She's covering the McNeese LSU game. Taylor, great to see you again. And I can only imagine the mood of the LSU nation. I know it's a neighbor. I know it's a friendly neighbor with the Ed O connection with the son. But what is the state of Louisiana right now after a brutal weekend in California?
Well, good to see you, Paul. Thank you for having me again. You know, it's been interesting in talking with the players and coaches ahead of this week. I've noticed disappointment is kind of what they've experienced coming off of week one, but not discouragement. And there's an intentional difference there. Obviously, the players told me heading into week one, they've had this mentality that they're going to be those guys on both sides of the ball. And they went in with very high hopes to week one and certainly wasn't the result they were looking for. They're okay with being disappointed in that result because they think they're capable of much more. But they're not allowing it to discourage them. They're very much, you know, next game up. They've taken a lot of lessons from week one. Don't get me wrong. But there's excitement. There's energy. They got to stop the bleeding, but no one's hitting the panic button yet.
Let's talk about one of the positive aspects of this game, and regardless of fans' feelings today, and it could change week to week for Coach O, talk and tell us more about, obviously, he's got quite a strong relationship with a player on the other side.
It's crazy, Paul. I mean, there is such another layer to this whole thing. Obviously, Coach O's son, Cody, is the starting quarterback at McNeese State. His other two sons, Parker and Tyler, are on the coaching staff here. So this literally is a family affair, but it goes even beyond that. McNeese State head coach Frank Wilson used to be an assistant coach here at LSU. He coached with Coach O at Ole Miss. They've got a tight end in Jamal Pettigrew, who used to play here at LSU. Paul, the SIDs, the sports information directors at McNeese State and LSU, are brothers. You can't make this stuff up. There are just so many layers to this one, obviously an in-state game, but so many connections for Coach O and Cody in particular. I spoke with both of them this week. They call each other their best friend. They're incredibly close, and Coach O said it's been quite a balancing act for him this week in preparing for an opponent, having the exact same approach and goal in mind. But sometimes that father side of him taps in. He said they've been breaking down film, and one of his coordinators pointed out something that Cody couldn't do, and Coach O almost instinctively got defensive about it. But he has to remember his role in this, and obviously for Cody, he said this is a dream come true, playing in a stadium that he's come to support his dad many times. It's just a lot of levels to this one.
No, there really is, and I mean, if you're an LSU fan, you want your team to go out and destroy whoever the next opposition is, but it's a little more difficult. You want to win, but you're hoping not to destroy your own family.
Right. You would hope so anyway. And a lot of these guys are friends, a lot of them from similar hometowns. They've even practiced in similar facilities, worked out together in the off season. So there's going to be a lot of familiar faces out there, but you know, the goal's the same, especially coming off week one for LSU.
Well, Taylor, it's always great to see you again. Some people may not know you were in your early days before you hit it big in Hollywood. You were a part of our team in the studio, and we are all proud of you, and can't wait to see you when you're out there covering games.
Thank you so much, Paul. You guys prepared me well, I hope.
Thank you, Taylor. Taylor Davis, covering the LSU-McNeese game. And we're going to continue with some phone calls, try to work some guests in between phone calls. A lot of guests coming up here soon, including Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director. He is going to join us next. Matt is up next in San Antonio. How are you, Matt?
Hey, what's up, my brother Paul? I got some St. Louis, Alabama fans, Arkansas fans, especially Legend and Joe from Red Bay. Look, he might say that every year the A&M stuff, Jimbo Fisher stuff, he's not a good coach, he never won a title at A&M, whatever, heard his crap before. No, you're not going to beat us if you're Alabama fans. I don't care. We're not afraid of Nick Saban. Ooh, you're pretty big, bad Nick Saban. No, we're not. Sorry, get over yourself. We're going to beat you this year.
You know, Matt, I just don't know what to say to you. You're my friend, but you just can't seem to.
Well, I see you as a brother, Paul.
Well, I feel the same way, but as a brother, I just got to tell you, I mean, don't blow up the whole season just to get to that Alabama game, okay?
No, I'm not blowing up the whole season. We got to do our first five games, Paul, and I want to see Hank King improve as a passer during the field. I want to see him get better at that. But at the same time, you got to get that monkey off your back, Paul.
Well, I hear you. Listen, I'm well aware of that, but all these schools that, you know, bring on Bama, you know, worry about yourself first, though, Matt. That's all I'm saying to you.
I will, and I wanted to tell you something, Paul, as well.
Sure, Matt.
You there, Paul?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. I met somebody. It's a girl. I wanted to tell you that, Paul.
Well, let me choose my words carefully here, but tell me more about your new friend.
You're going to laugh at this. He's a Longhorn fan.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Matt, let me say this to you. Don't let that bother you. I mean, I went to Tennessee. My wife's a Vanderbilt person. We never let that get in the way.
So you
have to. I mean, I know how much you guys hate the Longhorns, but tell me more about her.
You know, she's from Fort Worth, outside of Dallas, in the Fort Worth area. She travels a lot for her job, and she likes Mexican food like I do. She's very kind to me. She doesn't judge me. I'm on this.
What kind of food do you eat?
I eat Mexican food, Italian food, hamburgers, hot dogs, and burgers, and chili dogs.
Okay, that is my kind of lineup. I'm a big Mexican. I mean, Mexican burgers and hot dogs.
Well, here I got something to ask you, Paul. I got a bet to Legend and Joe from Red Bay.
So this lady from you talk football
with her? Fort Worth, Paul.
Fort Worth, yeah.
She likes football. Yes, she does.
Does she know?
My question.
I will be in Texas this year. Hey, there's a good chance. Hey, by the way, Matt, does she know what a big celebrity you are on the Feinbaum show?
No, she doesn't, Paul. I told her about you. She doesn't know yet. Eventually, if it works out, you can meet her, Paul.
Well, Matt, if there's anything I can do to offer some advice, you make sure you call me. We are coming. Thanks so much, Matt. We are coming right back. We've already had Coach Pittman on. We've talked to so many great people, from Tebow to Roman, Robert Griffith, Hunter Yurecek. He's the athletic director at Arkansas, and he will join us next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.